So I'm going to go ahead and introduce now to you Mosh Lee. Thank you for coming here today. She has an incredible background. She is the director, the director of the IPFS Foundation and the inventor of Google Forms. And she's going to be going ahead and giving a discussion today on the practical talk, sharing the lessons of the IPFS ecosystem on decentralizing the web via native and browser support and new cryptographic standards. So let's go ahead and give a warm round of applause for Mosh Lee, everyone.
Thank you, Kevin. Hi, everyone. I'm Michelle Lee, Mosh to my friends and foes, with the IPFS Foundation. We're a nonprofit that fosters a more resilient and user-owned internet. Today, specifically, I want to share our adventures with IPFS and web browsers, our favorite portal to the internet. Raise your hand if you've used a web browser this morning. I know it's pretty early, so who knows. Keep your hand up if you've written an application for a web browser. And put your hand up, keep your hand up if you've tried to make a web browser do things it's not really supposed to do. That's a lot of hands. That's a lot of hands in this room. And now keep your hand up if you've written or contributed to a web browser. Hello, hello. All right, awesome. So the IPFS project started 10 years ago with two simple and, at the time, pretty weird ideas. Content addressing all the way down, so every piece of data is hashed, and that hash becomes its identifier. And once that data can verify itself, it doesn't need to come from a trusted server or source. And that's how you build open networks shaped by users, not by platforms. And so today, we have a family of protocols and tools to store, verify, and share data across distributed networks. And they're the building blocks of what we hope will be a better web. We have a lot of different specs, libraries, and tools, but people generally come to IPFS to solve one of three problems. One, and maybe the most well-known here, is you want to publish on a public network resilient to censorship or outages. So if something happens, you can get the same content proven by its content identifier from any other node in the network. Two, and this is actually about 67% of the usage, you want to spin up your own networks. So these users range from scientists sharing data sets across universities to civil engineering projects using IoT sensors to monitor wear and tear on bridges. I mean, there's like a whole universe of things that people are using these open, decentralized peer-to-peer networks for. And they're fascinating, and most of us never know about them because they're in the dark forest or kind of off of the main network. But there's a lot of tooling that's coming online for that as well, especially from the Python and geospatial data communities. The third is you just want content addressing, and you want it to play nice with your own network design. So I'll start with the first one. And in 10 years, you know, people have used IPFS, used those three capabilities to do a bunch of pretty awesome things. Now the web is, I would say, more open, more censorship resistant. We've made the web more efficient together. We've made the web more credible, more trustworthy through CID verification. And you could also say we've made the web more fun when you can customize and control your own experiences on social networks. Maybe it's a better experience. Who knows? And all of this is happening through a heavily consolidating browser landscape. This graph is from 2012 to 2024. Can anyone guess who the blue one is? Chrome, yeah. Yep, it's Chrome. And so, yeah, browsers, a fun place. So by design, and here's where browsers come in. By design, each IPFS node talks to other nodes to find and fetch content by their CIDs. In practice, most web users, most laptop users aren't running a node. And here's something I always like to keep in mind when I'm making products or software. The average desktop user has 50 to 100 apps installed, but only 7 to 10 of them see daily use. That's for most consumers. And so that's where people really live. Those are the ones that are up to date, like past all their security upgrades. There's a really long tail of apps. And so when you build an app, that is not a web browser, you really have to fight to get into that top 7 or 10. This effect is even more exaggerated in on the mobile platform. So on your home screen, think of the apps that are in your dock or the ones that you use most often. You might have 50, 60, 100 apps installed, but it's about 4 to 8 that people are using most of the time. So if you want to do something custom, if you want to build your own app, you either make it into that top echelon or you use an app or a portal that everyone has installed. And so that's where browsers have really played a fantastic role since the dawn of the web. And let's talk about extensions for a second. Extensions are a really great way to extend capabilities, but again, most people don't find them, they don't install them. IPFS Companion, which is our extension for Chrome and other browsers, has about 50,000 users. Many of them are really active, but still that is just a small slice compared to the number of people who are trying to access our content through a regular old web browser. So in 2018, we introduced gateways, which are computers that speak both HTTP and IPFS. So ideally, they would all support the IPFS protocol. But in practice, we created a Band-Aid, essentially. And unfortunately, many web app devs started hard-coding these gateway URLs. So this was creating this re-centralization effect. 2 billion files at its peak, all served through 1 to 4 gateways. And so we needed another approach. Actually, we needed a lot more approaches. So we kind of set out on this journey to make browsers more peer-to-peer. Dietrich Ayala here is, you can blame him for getting this started, blame/thank. The first one is, hey, let's build new browsers. Let's build modern browsers that embrace the decentralized web. I can't spell decentralized, so I'm just using Web3, but words. It's really hard to get people to switch browsers, though. Like I said, that kind of app hegemony effect really makes it hard for new browsers to grow. The second approach is add IPFS and other decentralized protocols to really popular browsers. But browsers are very cautious. Progress is pretty slow. You have patterns like issues getting responded to after a year. We tried a lot of different paths towards this. We forked Chromium, we forked Electron, we kind of built it in, built a lot of proofs of concept. Progress here is pretty darn slow. But it does work. So over time, I think the one we can be most proud of is getting ED25519 supported in all major browsers last summer. It's a huge thanks to the Agalia team who made this happen, especially Javi Fernandez. Manuel's right there. Please talk to him as well. But this was a 3-year effort, right? And it doesn't fit into your quarterly planning. It doesn't even fit into your annual planning. And you can't predict it because it's based on what the browser vendors think. So we can't count on that. We need other paths in parallel. Before we move on, though, I'm riding high on the ED25519 thing, and I think we can get more. I know we can get more. It's going to take some time. So we put out a call on the IPFS discussion forum for community input on what we work on together with Agalia next. If you like streaming hashing in the Web Crypto API, if you want WebKit to fix localhost bugs, if you want more support for remote attested TLS, please put your needs and use cases in this forum thread. We'll take that to help shape our priorities. And then we'll bug you again to comment on the issues and PRs in the browser engines. And over time, and if I were taking bets, maybe optimistically, Blake 3 is a 2-year effort. It might be longer, but I would love to be right there. These kinds of things can, over time, really make it into the browsers. So, all right, that's slow. Let's keep going. What else can we do? The next one is new use of old browser capabilities. And this one's pretty fun. We have a team, the Kubo team, took advantage of service workers, which are an existing feature of all web browsers, and use that to create local support for direct retrieval, direct verified retrieval of IPFS data. So this is done in the Helia/verified fetch library. It has some constraints on it currently, and we need to improve its performance, but this does work. And it's a way to use a service worker to get peer-to-peer, direct peer-to-peer connections right from any browser to the IPFS network through the native protocol. So I'm pretty excited about this. It's basically, we've created the proof of concept. It's available at helia/verifiedfetch if you'd like to experiment with it. It's ready for you. I'm pretty excited about this one. We do have some work to do before we start shifting more traffic to it. That's going to be happening throughout this year. So we'll start experiments, do a lot of measurements. Towards the end of the year, you can sort of expect some stick and carrot patterns to push more traffic to this direct model. We'd really like to spread the load so that the public network can be a true peer-to-peer commons and take a lot of the pressure and traffic and dependency off these centralized gateways. The fourth approach is just don't, right? Don't try to make browsers do things that they don't want to do, and that's one that works for some projects and not for others. So servers, in this approach, servers are acceptable if your data is content addressed and you decentralize who controls the servers. In 2024 and early 25, we were noticing a lot of community-driven mini-libraries for parts of the IPFS stack, CIDs, CBOR, et cetera. A lot of this coming from the app proto-dev community. There was so much activity, in fact, that you sort of made us write a lighter weight IPFS family spec called Dazzle. Robin will be talking about that at 3:15 today in the decentralized comms dev room. And so we have a spec, a suite of specs, performance tests, websites, et cetera. And so the idea there is, these are building blocks that you can use if you're not ready to decentralize your entire stack or application or network or system. This is one, one meaningful step towards decentralized, more open, self-certifying networks. So we've got four approaches. They range from, chaotic good to chaotic neutral. Actually, they're not all chaotic. Probably the browser, the actual changing the browser's one, probably lawful good. We've only been able to do this with a ton of collaborators. And I hope you all will be some of them, whether it's just sharing use cases or, joining forces to make it clear to browsers that we are, that we are more than just an isolated instance or isolated team. We all want the same things, which is to have, have browsers continue to be this magical, fantastic gateway to the whole world, but also keep up with modern needs. So, yeah, the hills are alive. I hope we can all surmount them together. And I wanted to thank everyone who's ever contributed to IPFS or these efforts. A million people, some of whom are named here, some of whom I couldn't fit on the slide. If anyone wants to talk about this more, I'll be here for the morning, and you can reach me at these places, email, internet, et cetera. And with that, I think we have a few minutes for questions or comments.
All right, actually,
would you like him to come
back? Yeah, it's actually good. Yeah, actually, if you would like to talk on the spatula, that would be that'd be great. So that way, everyone watching the stream can go ahead and check it out. Here we go.
Yeah,
I'll come to you.
First of all, I'm honored to have the decentralized spatula. When you're trying to contribute IPFS into the browsers, you said that they're very cautious and slow. Is there anything specific you can say in terms of what technical pushback or like what concerns, what terrible thing is going to happen in browser land if they were to accept your contribution?
I think they're slow for good reason, right? Like they are, they're a huge vector for people trying to do all sorts of great things and terrible things on the web. The way browsers are architected, most of these newer capabilities would be like feature flags or enabled capabilities. A lot of these browsers don't even have those controls built in. So it's a multi-step process. Like first, get them to support configurations or build variants or things like that, and then make the case for your specific technology to be accepted. So there's probably different stories for different heroes' journeys for each of the different capacities we want to see in there, but. I don't think it's unreasonable, but it is tedious. Manuel or Dietrich, do you want to add anything to that?
Well, one of the challenges is even talking. Like some of these concepts are so foreign to how the HTTP and browser security model is designed today that even talking about something like a cryptographically verifiable address and data as a security model is really challenging. So we proposed IPFS at the WICG, just proposed to talk about it there, and did not get approval to have the conversation. And so there's this technical challenges and cultural challenges, but also an insularity to how the web itself has, its success has cemented its thinking about HTTP and the role it has in browsers that makes it challenging to even bring up new concepts like cryptographic verifiability as a as an origin or authority concept.
I mean, I think certificates just got widely known and accepted. So things take a while.
All right, any other questions?
Hi. First of all, great talk. Second, my question is, what kind of work has your organization done relating to displacing reliance on, say, the domain name system or certificate authorities for TLS? I work in the peer-to-peer space, and it's hard to do peer-to-peer stuff in the browser because of things that rely on centralized authorities like this. So I'm just curious what your vision or long-term thinking is on that subject.
Yeah. I think because we're working in like a very dynamic and shifting ecosystem, we haven't designated like, hey, this is our one path to success. There's a couple things that our community has done, or our organization and our collaborators have done. One is actually just to start issuing certs ourselves, have like automatic services to issue certs. The other is that a number of groups are creating basically capabilities-based tools to bundle tokens, auth tokens alongside content. UCAN's probably the one that I see the most of, but there are many others out there.
Thank you.
All right, we have time for one last question. So who wants to hold the spatula? Okay. All right, let's go ahead and do one more warm round of applause for Mashley, everyone. Thank you very much.